How's it going, guys? Welcome back to another episode of HQI Sports, and I can't lie, today's kind of a depressing day for various reasons. One, the Chiefs took their first L this season against the Raiders, and that really sucked. And a heartbreaking loss, but a loss they definitely deserved. You know, the Chiefs did not play well at all. And then we saw Dak Prescott just absolutely destroy his ankle and will definitely miss the remainder of the season. And the year where Dak really bet on himself, you know, did not go into the season with a long-term contract, was on that franchise tag. And now that makes the whole Dak Prescott extension conversation just a lot more grayer and just really sad. And then also last night we saw the Lakers win the NBA Finals, and that's actually not depressing, but the depressing part is now today there's just so much GOAT talk. It's just absolutely horrible. You know, LeBron's now the GOAT, and it's just terrible. It's even raining outside. Just to add on to all the depressing news. But there's no time to be depressed right now. We got a show to do. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. So let's drive straight into it.
Damian Williams runs to immortality and will be remembered forever in the Chiefs kingdom.
He drives one deep left field. That goes up to him. Back near the wall. It's out of here. Bartolo has done it.
Curry way downtown. Bang! Bang! Oh, what a shot from Curry.
What is going on, guys? Welcome back to another episode of HQI Sports. That's definitely kind of a different intro, but I hope you guys enjoyed it. But it is kind of a depressing day in all those fashions. But I'm ready for this show. I'm really excited for this episode. As I said before, we got a lot to talk about. You know, NFL Week 5, you know, kind of wrapping up today as we're recording this on Monday. And a lot of stuff happened. That's what I kind of want to first talk about in this episode. And let's get straight to it. So as I just said, I definitely want to talk NFL Week 5 to, you know, start this episode, because a lot of stuff happened in Week 5, especially yesterday. We have, you know, Chargers Saints wrapping up Week 5 tonight, and that's definitely going to be an exciting game. I'll probably give a little prediction later on in the episode. But first, I definitely want to talk about what happened yesterday. Most notably, Chiefs lost to the Raiders. That absolutely sucked. Dak Prescott absolutely destroyed his ankle, pretty much ruining the Cowboys' entire season. Definitely don't see Andy Dalton doing anything to salvage the season for the Cowboys. Also, most notably, the Falcons finally fired Dan Quinn. That's pretty much 2 years too late. But the Falcons are basically now saying, you know, we're restarting everything. You know, this team was not working, hasn't been working for 2 to 3 years. We need to hit the reset button. And I do applaud them for doing that, even though it's definitely too late. But it's really frustrating, because Julio Jones's career is basically wasted, if you think about it. I mean, yes, he went to a Super Bowl, and the few years before that Super Bowl, the Falcons were good, but they weren't great. And, you know, he's never really had that prime quarterback that he really needs. You know, Matt Ryan was good for a few years, but come on. He's not the quarterback that Julio Jones deserves. So I'm hoping now that the Falcons are officially, you know, hitting the reset button, that Julio Jones decides, you know, I'm out of here. And, you know, he finally gets a chance to be on a great team with Super Bowl aspirations. I also really want to talk about the Dolphins and 49ers game, which I'm guessing a lot of you, or at least the people listening to this episode, did not watch, because the 49ers got absolutely manhandled by the Dolphins. Who would have thought it? That's definitely a game that, you know, Jimmy G coming back off that ankle injury. I thought the 49ers were going to cruise right through Miami, and turns out Miami is good? I don't know. But what I do know after that game is that either Jimmy G is just bad, like he's officially bad now, or he's just not ready at all, and he's still definitely hurting from the ankle injury, because he was benched after that first half where I can't remember the exact score, but I think the Dolphins are pretty much up by like 30 or at least close to it. And that's just really surprising. You know, not many people are talking about that game today, but I think they should be, because the 49ers were in the Super Bowl last year, the Super Bowl. And I know they have a lot of their team is still kind of injured right now, especially on defense. But there's no excuse to losing like that to the Dolphins. I don't care if they lost half their team. I mean, maybe it was half their team, but which they kind of did. But either way, the 49ers, they have enough people back from all those injuries they got, you know, 3 weeks ago, to at least put up a fight against the Dolphins, because that was nothing. They literally rolled over to the Dolphins, and that just really surprised me. I never saw that game happening the way it did. So very surprising, surprising result there. And it makes you really wonder, you know, are the 49ers officially in that Super Bowl hangover period? I mean, it kind of looks like it. I mean, I think they're 2-3 now, and they're last in the division, which I believe is the best division of football by far. So if you kind of look at it from a broad scheme of view, the 49ers playoff chances are slowly diminishing. And that is truly a shock from what I thought was a team that is easily top three in the NFC. So it's going to be really interesting to see how the 49ers bounce back from such a terrible result. But now, obviously, there wouldn't be really a point to giving an NFL Week 5 recap without talking about the biggest storyline, and that is Dak Prescott just absolutely destroying his ankle in the game against the Giants. So the Cowboys did, you know, kind of rally back and win at the end, though, with Andy Dalton making some absolutely great throws. Like, I can't take him away from that. And I think the final score was either 37-34. I can't exactly remember, but Cowboys came back, won that game. But I wouldn't be surprised if they win. I can't see a scenario where the Cowboys finish the season winning six games. I honestly can't. I know Andy Dalton isn't a scrub. He definitely isn't good, but he's not a scrub. Andy Dalton isn't a scrub. Let me say that right now. Hopefully he proves me right. But Cowboys season's over. That's the biggest storyline from this injury. Cowboys season is officially over. A team that heading into the year, well, this is kind of the situation every year, but definitely this year, heading into the year with Super Bowl aspirations. Super Bowl aspirations. It happens every year with the Cowboys. And there's usually, you know, other reasons why the Cowboys just didn't play to their expectations. And we saw that for the beginning of the year before this game, you know, 1-3, which I said on my Twitter account, easily the worst defense I think I've ever seen in football. Like, I'm not even... They gave up 34 points to the goddamn Giants without Saquon Barkley. Like, what is that? And now, without Dak Prescott, who was playing good football, but I hesitate to say great football because the Cowboys essentially this year were the Falcons the last 2 years, because they would get down by at least probably 20 points every single game, and then Dak Prescott just kind of rose from the ashes and tried to save them. So it's hard to say Dak Prescott played amazing going up to this point, because they're 1-3, and obviously it's hard to give him, you know, full blame, because he's trying to recover from the worst defense in football. But Dak Prescott, before his injury, was struggling early in game, so that's definitely worrisome. But definitely the biggest storyline, Dallas' season's over, absolutely not making the playoffs, and this is just kind of a year wasted, you know, with a year that CeeDee Lamb really looked pretty good, and, you know, Mark Cooper didn't look awful, but he definitely didn't look bad. It's just kind of sad. You know, I'm definitely not a Cowboys fan. I'm not saying I'm one of those fans that definitely roots against them, but I definitely don't like to see him succeed. Sorry to any Cowboys fans listening to this episode. But I definitely feel some remorse. You know, this is definitely just a horrible situation. So anyone listening to this episode, you know, I'm not a Cowboy hater, and I definitely try not to be. So I just want to say, you know, get well soon, Dak. You know, this is a guy who doesn't deserve any of this. You know, the dude has been through so much so early in his life. So I really hope Dak recovers quickly and definitely finds a team, whether it's the Cowboys or someone else, he finds a team next year and has some success next year. And then the final game I want to talk about from my NFL Week 5 recap actually is not the Chiefs, surprisingly. I will say this one thing about the Chiefs. They definitely revealed a lot of their flaws on both offense and defense. You know, the Raiders and basically the entire NFL now have an exact blueprint, which I will say that the blueprint was kind of out last year, just people didn't really remember it. You got to rush four and get pressure, and then basically have everyone else back. That's the way to slow down the Chiefs on offense. And then the way to capitalize on the Chiefs' defense, run the dang ball. Like, eventually it's going to work. And that's what they did yesterday. I was actually surprised that Josh Jacobs only had like 75 rushing yards. That didn't even seem possible. But when it mattered, the Raiders could run the ball with ease. So there was no coming back from that game. Just an absolute, just awful performance. But the game I really want to talk about to wrap up this NFL Week 5 recap is Cleveland and Indianapolis, where I had the Colts going into this game and kind of, you know, the Browns had success with Dallas's defense. It was definitely going to be definitely a different story with Indianapolis's defense, and that was not really the case. The Browns, with the win over the Colts yesterday, firmly placed themselves as one of the best teams in football. There's no taking that away from the Browns right now, who somehow have the exact same record as the Chiefs, which is just insane to me when they even say that out loud. It doesn't even sound right. But this is a team that is a serious threat to the Chiefs now. I'll say it. You know, they have two great running backs. I'm not sure what the status of Nick Chubb is, to be honest. But the 1-2 punch of Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, that's a serious problem for anyone in the AFC. And I know Baker Mayfield has his limitations. They've all been on display in a short tenure in the NFL. But dude is capable. Dude has the capability of, you know, managing a game and not making mistakes if he's used properly. So the Browns are a team to be aware of, and they're a team that I think people are sleeping on way too much. And I hope this victory kind of wakes up those people. So watch out for the Browns. But that's going to do it for my NFL Week 5 recap. If I talk about it anymore, I'm just going to get more depressed. So I'm going to move on. And after this short break, I'm going to be talking about the NFL COVID-19 situation, which over the past 2 weeks has gotten immensely more serious. So stay tuned for that. Now, on Sunday morning, we had heard that there had been another positive COVID test, and that was with the New England Patriots. They had another player test positive, according to sources, and that basically caused the NFL to shift a lot of games moving forward. Number one, the game this week with Denver and the Patriots, that game had been moved to now next week, and then ensuing the NFL then adjusted the schedule for 8 teams moving forward, including the Patriots and Broncos. So yet again, COVID-19 has taken another toll on the NFL season, and I hadn't talked about it in a while because I've been talking about other stuff, but I definitely felt the need to address the situation happening in the NFL right now, because honestly, it's gone too far. I mean, I talked about it a little bit, the NFL had done a pretty decent job for about 3 weeks there, including the training camps, with handling COVID, because players really haven't been going anywhere. I mean, the season had just started, so not a lot of, you know, cross-contamination examples to be sought there, or just not a lot of places where, you know, or at least not a lot of places where you thought COVID-19 could transmit. But now the situation has completely changed. The NFL absolutely needs to do something. Let me make that very clear. The NFL needs to do something, because let me tell you, the whole schedule change with the 8 teams, it's just a cop out. Like they're literally not addressing the situation at all. The NFL owners and the NFL have just completely decided that they're just going to pray that nothing, like they're going to basically pray that just everyone could just, you know, stay safe and just go on with the protocols that are in place now. And let me tell you, that is not going to be the case. Like, the NFL and the Patriots' positive COVID test on Sunday morning will not be the last positive COVID case. I can promise you, anyone who's listening to this and the NFL, if for some reason they're listening to this, there will be more COVID tests. I don't know how much clearly I can say that. So whether or not the NFL does something, I'm not sure, but I can't imagine this situation going on for much longer the way it is right now. And for the most part, it's just a really sad situation because, you know, the NFL, at least for a few weeks there, it looked like it had really gotten things under control. I mean, they're allowing players to be to voice their opinions on social justice reform, which is great, which is a completely 180 from what the NFL stance was, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. And, you know, the protocols seem to be working, but a lot has changed, like I just said. So it's just sad because how the NFL was responsive earlier in the season is not what they're doing right now. Not even close. The NFL needs to wake up, and they need to accept the situation, and they need to accept that there's a global pandemic happening right now, and that other leagues in America have been able to figure out situations to have their seasons. So they need to embrace the fact that they need to evolve their protocol and they need to evolve the way they're handling the situation right now. So whether that's making a bubble, which I actually have, I've been pretty clear that the bubble situation would not work for the NFL, or they need to embrace a situation where the NFL sets up hotels with each team, where teams don't leave the hotel for pretty much the remainder of the season, because as long as teams are traveling to different stadiums where players are allowed to go home, and they're obviously not encouraged to, you know, go to, you know, outdoor activities or go to activities just in general throughout their, you know, local towns, but the NFL has not said anything really about, you know, players being restricted from, you know, going out into society. Obviously, they're encouraging to wear masks and all that, but we've seen with the Tennessee Titans in the past 2 weeks that players are going to be able to figure out how to try to, you know, get around the rules, even though the rules are there. And look what happened. The Tennessee Titans have like 25 positive cases. It's a full-on outbreak in Tennessee. So the situation and the protocols that are in place right now cannot go on any further if the season is to continue, and if the NFL and the NFL owners hope to have 16 games this season. It's just not possible. So I'm not exactly sure what the answer is, to be honest with you. I don't recommend the bubble. I don't think the bubble would work for the NFL, but something needs to be done, and it needs to be done fairly soon. So that is my opinion on the NFL COVID crisis right now. But enough about COVID. I don't really like to talk about COVID too much on this podcast, because for anyone listening, you definitely hear about COVID a lot more about than when I'm just talking about it. COVID, there's too much COVID in our lives, and I think everyone can agree with me with on that opinion. But so after this short break, I'll be wrapping up the podcast talking about the NBA Finals and the GOAT conversation, which has gotten way out of hand only a day after LeBron clinched his fourth title. Stay tuned for that. So like I said before, I definitely want to talk about the NBA Finals before, you know, I wrap up this episode. And kind of like, if you remember what I said in the intro, I didn't really care who won the finals. I definitely thought the Lakers were going to win this. I thought that he had a chance. But I said in the previous episode, once Bam Adebayo and Goran Dragic went out with injuries, and especially since when the Lakers went up 3-1, he had no chance of winning the series. I definitely thought when they won Game 5 and forced it to 3-2, that I thought the series was going to go to Game 7. I was wrong there. But it's just, the Lakers are just, they're one of those teams where when I look at them and just kind of see, when I look at the journey they've gone through to get to this moment, I both feel like a sense of, like, I'm really happy for them, and also, like, a little bit, like, just a little frustrated. Well, let me explain. Obviously, the Lakers organization has gone through so much over the past 2 or 3 years with, you know, Kobe Bryant dying and passing away. It's a horrible tragedy. To being one of the worst teams in the league at a few points in there. You know, the little drop-off after they won the title back in 2010. And then they go and get LeBron after they are horrible in free agency in multiple fashions, whether it's, you know, dealing away D'Angelo Russell or paying way too much for Timmy Mozgov. I could go down the line with all the terrible free agency moves that they've made in the past. But you know, it just goes to show that once you get LeBron and you get LeBron healthy and give him a decent supporting cast, your team is good enough to make the finals any year. And it just really shows how, you know, I also said I was going to talk about, you know, the GOAT conversation, and I've kind of said this previously, but I haven't really stated it enough. The GOAT conversation, I'll say it right now, the GOAT conversation is idiotic because the NBA changes so frequently, and let me explain. Obviously, the entire country, as well as kind of the entire world, has been in a state of quarantine for about 6 or 7 months. And over that time, especially for me, I have watched so many, you know, past games and so many games that I've kind of just forgotten about. And some of that time has been nice. You know, I've watched a lot of, you know, old basketball games, especially old playoff games. Definitely watched some old baseball games. I haven't really watched a ton of football games, but getting back to my point, I was watching some games from, I'd say, the range of early 80s all the way up to probably like 2008, 2007. Watched a lot of, you know, like NBA playoff games where it was either, you know, LeBron with his old Cleveland Cavalier team, or, you know, Magic and Bird, the rivalry back then. Tons of games. Allen Iverson, you name it. I watched a lot of basketball during this quarantine period. And let me tell you something. The way the game has changed from literally just, I'll just say from 2010 right now to right now in 2020 is significant. It is not even comparable in some aspects. Like, the game back then, especially in like the early 2000s, is so much slower than the game is right now. Like, compare the finals when Kobe won the finals back in 2010 to what the finals was this year, last night. It's incredible to watch as a basketball fan. So when you're talking about who the GOAT is, and you want to compare players like Michael Jordan and LeBron, it doesn't make any sense. I know you can just look at it based on a resume basis, and I do understand those people, but it's so unfair because you're comparing players that played in a completely different era and style of basketball. So I don't really understand what the point is. And with LeBron, if you want to just go basically strictly on resume, which a lot of people are doing, then I would say LeBron and MJ are equal. I said before that I thought MJ was better than LeBron going into this finals, and that LeBron, you know, resume base was probably going to be equal if he won this, and he did win it, so I guess he's probably just equal with Jordan now, but it doesn't matter really to me because the era is so different that I think the GOAT conversation is practically useless. So, I don't know. I just find it all just a little bit stupid and just, you know, just kind of desperate for viewers. So I, if you want to know my opinion, that's my opinion. So if you want to talk about who is the GOAT and who is not the GOAT, go right ahead. Not going to stop you. I totally understand. But from my point of view, the GOAT conversation is completely idiotic and is way overblown in today's sports media. Now, if you want to talk about who is the GOAT over a certain era, I'm happy to do that. I really talked about this with Zach Schutmaker on my past episode with, you know, we talked about college basketball and all that, how he sees it the exact same way. There should be, you know, a so-called GOAT for each era of the game in basketball. So you have a GOAT for 1960s to 1970s, and then you have a GOAT for the 80s and 90s, and then you have the GOAT for the 2000s to like right about now. And LeBron, with his win over the Miami Heat last night, and even beforehand, if you ask me, has been the GOAT of this era of basketball. It hasn't even been close. He has been easily the most dominant and impact player of this generation. And then before LeBron, it was Michael Jordan. 6 titles, defensive player of the year constantly, and an obviously incredible scorer. MJ was the GOAT of the 80s and 90s. And then before that, you can either go like Bill Russell or Wilt Chamberlain. Don't really care. So enough is enough. There's no need for all this freaking GOAT controversy. All these players are incredibly, incredibly talented and incredibly, they've achieved so much over their careers. It's just so stupid. There's no need for all this, you know, comparison of players who played like 30 years apart in some cases. So it's just so stupid to me. I don't know why the media insists on making this GOAT conversation so polarized to where it is right now. So I hope you can see where I'm coming from on this take. I hope you kind of agree with me. If you don't, that's fine. It's just, I hope people soon, or at least in the future, can open up their eyes and see that there are multiple perspectives to this entire conversation. But that's going to wrap up this podcast or this episode. I really hope you guys enjoyed it. I hope you guys liked that different intro. I tried to, you know, give it a little bit of a, you know, different touch to it. I hope you enjoyed it. But stick around. There's definitely going to be more content coming soon. I really had a good time recording this episode. I hope you guys have a great day, and I'll see you guys next time.